Welcome back to Dirty Girl. Funny, true story. My producers were like, Heather, did you send an intro outro for this episode? And I'm like, no. And I just fully forgot. But I have a good excuse. It's because I've been unpacking my new place and I'm just overwhelmed. And this is the news to make anyone else feel like, I don't know, the world around them is on fire, literally on fire, and there's no hope in the world, but we have to continue to have hope, and I'm just spiraling. Anyway, today we're sharing our interview with Tenille. Tenille's boss, Tenille's bae. We had fun. Enjoy.
The vagina in general, I think, is it's just still, like, shrouded in so much mystery. Like, I have personally had a vagina for over 28 years now, and I still don't fucking get it. I still don't understand. Like, there's literally so much I still do not understand about my own vagina. It's aggravating.
What do you understand?
I think it would be easier to, not much. I know I've gotten pretty in tune with my menstrual cycle, finally, now that I am on the IUD. I line up with the new moon. every time the month shifts, I always know, like, oh, it's about to be my period time, which is nice. I'm finally regular. I know some things, but I think there's more things that I don't know about my vagina that I'm still confused about than what I do. Granted, but also, like, I'm from the Midwest, and we had, like, the worst to, like, non-existent sex education, sexual health care, like, any of that. We just don't talk about anything there. It's just, like, not to be polite, and so I feel like I was not taught about anything.
Where in the Midwest are you from?
Nebraska. Yeah. Good old times. Like, okay, so middle school. Me and my friend Steph were, like, in gym class, and it's, like, probably, like, the 7th grade, 8th grade. And, like, finally, like, we're just, like, jogging around talking to each other. And she's like, hey, like, do you ever get this stuff in your underwear? And I'm like, what? And she's like, you know, like, that, like snot. Looking stuff, and I was like, oh my god, yes, crotch snot. And like, we thought we were sinners, like, because, you know, like, that should only happen when you're, like, you know, like, being sexual. And I was like, I'm, like, as prude as they come as, like, eighth grade me. There's no reason I'm, like, having, like, lady cum in my underwear. It was like, we were so distraught, we thought we were horrible people, and nobody even explained to us that that's discharge and that it happens every month and it's completely fucking normal. Like, so yeah, we ended up, like, it ended up being, like, a thing throughout our middle school and high school that everybody's just, like, referenced it as CS for short. Like, dude, my CS is killing me today. And, like, oh my god, you know, like, you get that flooding feeling and you don't know if it's your period that started or just, like, fluids just dropping out of your body on a regular basis. So yeah, CS. I still refer it to that all the time. Crotch snot. It's just, yeah. So, like, just, like, that shouldn't have been a confusion. There shouldn't have been a shame in that, like, as, like, little middle school girls. My discharge still confuses me. Like, is this normal? Is this not normal? Should I panic? Should I not panic? You know?
What I've learned is you should just get really... This is kind of weird. This may seem weird. Get real comfortable with your crotch snot.
Okay.
With your discharge. Know the texture and the smell of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that if it changes, you know to go to your doctor.
I'm always in panic mode. I'm always like, oh my god, am I on the verge of another yeast infection or bacteria infection? And then it's just awful. First time I ever got a yeast infection. Because, like, I was a dancer, so, like, I was constantly in, like, tights and leotards. And, like, and I also lived on a lake. So it was, like, all the makings for, like, a bad vagina environment. My first time I ever got a yeast infection, I thought... I had no idea what it was. I was too embarrassed to talk to anybody about it. I Googled my symptoms, realized, like, I was like, oh my god, it can't be a sexually transmitted disease. I haven't even had sex yet. And then I read this thing on the internet that was like, put some salt into a hot bath, like, insert your fingers and, like, let the salt cleanse your vagina. So here I am being like 15 and having no idea what I'm doing and just, like, dumping buckets of salt into my bath. And just being like, nobody coming, and then just, like, going to town thinking I was just like, yeah, no. It's awful. Not enough sex education in this country at all.
Did you have any?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I still have issues with, like, yeast infections, bacteria infections all the time. Because I feel like once you get one, then it's just, like, a spiral effect. And, no, yeah, I've had them all. Like, there's
Did you have any sex ed?
is what I mean. Oh, no, I personally didn't take sex ed. I watched the movie in, what is it, the fifth grade and the sixth grade, where it's like, AIDS will kill you. Like, you'll get it from sitting on a toilet, don't do drugs, don't have sex. And I just remember them, like, putting people in costumes to be like, to look like the blood cells and the disease blood cells sneaking into the house because they were, like, tricking the other blood cells. It was a really, clearly not a very informative movie. But that is the only sex education I personally had.
What feelings did you have when you started having, like, sexual impulses?
I don't even think I realized that a lot of impulses were sexual impulses until way later in life. Like, I remember playing... My mom's going to hear this one day and be like, why would you ever say these things? Like, I played clarinet, so, you know, like, but, like, in band, you had those chairs that kind of had that, like, where your legs are supposed to go for, like, good posture, and just scooting up for proper posture towards the end of your chair, and it just, like, hitting that spot, and you're just like, oh, and it was just the only good part of band. Yeah, and, like, just, like, I think dry humping. Like, I think as a young girl is just, like, supernatural. You don't realize, like you're masturbating, but you just start dry humping shit, and then you realize, yeah, like, 10 years later, oh, I started masturbating way younger than I thought I had been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you seen Big Mouth or Pen 15?
I haven't yet, but I'm in love with Sex Education on Netflix. Like, that, I love it. I haven't seen that yet.
I haven't seen Sex Ed yet, but those two are all about puberty.
Of course.
And it's just rewatching it, it's like, oh, I feel so much better knowing that literally everybody
is confused and just that, but like, we shouldn't be. I have a major problem with that. We shouldn't be. Like, girls shouldn't be dumping salt into bathtubs and doing what they're doing because they are, like, actually ill and, like, not going to the doctor for it. Nobody's talking to them that it's, like, not a shameful thing. Like, still to this day, people treat yeast infections and bacteria infections with so much shame, and I'm like, I haven't done anything wrong. That's literally just, it can be diet, it can be stress, it can be a million and one things that are just completely normal and don't really, like, reflect on you as a person, and yet here we are just feeling disgusting and awful. There's so many different, like, yeast infections to begin with, and the bacteria infections, sometimes you don't really know because they're very similar. Like, there's ones with a lot of disgusting discharge and no pain. There's ones with, like, crazy amounts of pain and no weirdness. And so I went to the doctor thinking it was just, like, a normal, like, yeast infection. Went to a super ghetto doctor, like, way, way deep in the valley because it was, like, free. And they're like, okay, so it's a bacteria infection. Put me on some meds or whatever, and I was, like, done with my meds, and I thought I was, like, doing better, and so I was with this guy at the time, and, you know, I didn't really want to have sex, but, you know, like, that guilt sex that you have, because you're obligated, because you're in a relationship, and it's like, okay, fine, whatever, so, like, I don't think that there was enough, like, revving up to begin with, so sometimes you don't want to just dry, and it just, like, just rips you apart. Well, anyways, we're just, like, having sex, and I was just like, my God, it just felt like I was being just, like, forks just clawing at all of my insides. And all of a sudden, like, I'm like, stop, 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 stop. And my vagina had swollen up so fucking bad. Like, I'm, like, talking, like an orange down there to the point where I was, like, full-blown fucking panicking. Like, it hurt so bad. And then I just, like, sat in this hot shower, just, like, having the hot shower, just, like, literally legs up and, like, what is that, happy baby pose, just letting the, like, hot water hit me as, like, I'm then, like, an ice pack on it later, just trying to get this, because, like, I was so concerned that it was so swollen, it felt like it was going to burst, that I almost went to the ER, but I didn't want to have to explain to my mother that I was going to the emergency room because I let a guy bang me when my vagina wasn't fully healed. So it was it was truly an awful experience. Like, it was, just made me feel disgusting and horrible and, you know, all this shame and guilt and comes with sex half the time anyways.
Can you talk about the guilt of not wanting to have sex, but your partner wants to have sex?
Yeah, I just feel like that's a lot of women. I think a lot of women more so than they want to say. And again, especially, I don't know if that's part of me is, like, raised in the Midwest with, like, that old school mentality that you're like, you are, you know, like, you're the woman. You're supposed to do your job, and your job's pleasing your dude. And, like, I also come from, like, a codependent home, so, like, that idea, the need to please and be like, well, I want them to love me. I want them to have a say with me. And then I go through that a lot where, like, you end up feeling low, but you feel the need to have it because it's not your partner's fault that you are feeling low, and then you do the sex, and then you, like, go into this, like, weird shame spiral where it's, like, I don't know, you just start running, like, through your head, like, oh, I'm a whore, and, like, oh, I'm depressed, like, and you just feel gross and dirty and used, even though you, like, love this person, and, like, that has nothing to do with them, but, like, then I think it just is, like, for me, it's always been, like, a trigger for a lot of, like, other negative sexual experiences I've had. And I think it just becomes this, like, wallowing, like, thing. I don't know. But I personally, like, because I deal with, like, manic depressive stuff, so I go through, like, this up phase that'll make me feel like, I'm a woman, I should be able to do what I want and, like, be more promiscuous. And not even so much that, but just, like, I'm taking charge of my sexuality. I got no shame in it. And then, like, on the downside of that is, like, feeling the guilt of, like, all of that. It's, again, that's a hormone thing. Like, is that me? Is that my PMDD? Is being off and on birth control? Is it...
like, or is that just your experience?
Or is it family shit? Like, you never know. And, like, it's so hard, like, trying to figure out what's right when I feel like this entire society and, like, growing up was just telling me that I was wrong right off the bat. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know. So that probably sounds so fucking sad. And, like,
I totally relate to that. I was talking about this the other day, how I've had experiences where I asked a guy to wear a condom and he said he didn't want to, he either said he didn't have any or he said he didn't like them.
Of course.
And I, you know, was just like, okay, we don't have to use a condom.
No, and like, yeah.
And that's happened to me multiple times.
Right.
Before I felt like, I think, empowered and in order to take my health seriously.
Right.
But it was after we had sex that he told me he had never used a condom.
Oh.
And I just felt, like, so awful. And that's one story.
Right.
Another story is just, like, feeling obligated in a sense to have sex and feeling, like you said, just wanting to, like, make someone else happy and just feeling like you just have to.
Yeah.
And there's so many times where, sorry, my mind is, like, blanking, which means it's important.
So my therapist told me. You're good.
My mind's trying to, like, protect me and, like, blank it.
I feel you. I don't, like, want to, like, I know, like, the topic of rape is so fucking heavy and, like, also, like, just, like, everywhere right now. But, like, I used to have this phrase that we would use with, like, a couple of my friends where it was called, like, guilt rape. Where it's, like, you're in a situation where you, like, you're a little too drunk and you're all of a sudden, oh, my God, I don't have a ride home. And, like, you're like, no, I don't want to. Like, no, we're not there yet. And then they get mad at you and they're like, oh, really? Okay, then what was this night? And they get, like, aggressive. And it's not like they're forcing you. And it's not like you really, like, feel, like, any, like, immediate imminent danger. But, like, all of a sudden it's like you get, like, this shame for not doing it. Oh, okay, well, we got this far. Well, it's like this weird... It's guilt. Like, yes, I eventually said yes, but I would have never said yes after the million other times that I had said no if I didn't feel like I was guilted, shamed, pressured, or just honestly like, well, fuck, I've got no ride home. Like, well, I don't want him to be angry. Like, what am I going to do? Like, well, okay, well, I don't want him to be thrown out on the street. I guess I'm saying yes, you know, like, so like we had that like umbrella like term because you don't ever want to say rape. Like, it's like even if someone who, like, can say that that is something that I've gone through, like, it's still not a word that I, like, feel comfortable throwing out there just, like, willy-nilly, like, and nor should anybody. But, like, that was our umbrella term for, like, all the times that we realized that we didn't want to actually have sex and somehow ended up in that situation because we felt that we had to. It's not technically rape because eventually I said yes, but, like...
But it's because he didn't respect the no.
Yeah. Exactly. The guilt rape. That's what we call it back in my, like, little old crew.
I had anal sex when I was 15.
Oh, my God. Bless your fucking heart. And I'm still terrified of that.
Well, and that was – and now, as an adult, I look back on it, and it was that exact experience where I was with someone who was, a couple, like, 2 years older than me, and he was sexually experienced, but I wasn't. Mm. And he's like, well, you won't have sex with me, so, but, like, you need to give me something, and, like, this isn't technically sex.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you love me, why won't you? So it was, like, eventually I said yes because I was tired of saying no.
Right. And that, like, right there, you're saying that at 15, that you were already being manipulated in a situation that holds so much power, that we're taught that it shouldn't hold so much power. That's, it's insane. Like, that's what forms your opinions and your personality and who you are, like, at that age of a woman. And so, like, the fact that I think a lot of girls in our age range, or in general, in all of them, like, have such an identity crisis with their sexuality and, like, what is okay and what isn't okay. And maybe some people decide to go, like, super provocative just to prove they can. Or, like, I just feel like that's why our society is so muddled, is because people don't even realize, like, behind closed doors, like, all of the shaping that was happening in such a negative way.
I still have mixed feelings if I, like, spend the night with my boyfriend and we don't have sex.
Yeah.
I still have mixed feelings. That's like, well, we didn't. Is he still like me?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I feel you on that one. Like, that was, yeah, no, I had sex pretty young. And I think that was constantly what I was using to validate myself. I think, as again, I think a lot of girls go through that, is what, it's what validates you.
Mm.
Sex can be a really great time. And then the other half of the time, it's, like, emotionally damaging for how long. So, like, I've gotten to this point where I'm like, is it worth it? And then you go through this phase where you don't have sex. And then you're like, is there something wrong with me? How is anyone ever going to love me? And then, yeah. Then you hop back on the train and it's a whirlwind again.
Something that
so fucked
surprised me that I've, like, learned about myself is, like, I've had a fair amount of sexual partners, and it really, I'm, like, just now realizing that, like, my pleasure was so insignificant in most of those encounters.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to say almost all, but, like, the person I'm with now is the first person I've ever been with to, like, ask me what I want. Yeah. And care. And it's just nuts to me that I could go through so many sexual partners who I was essentially like a meat bag for their pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't question it because I was taught that that's sort of what mattered.
Right. And faking it and doing the noises and doing everything right and blah, blah, blah. And like when they're done, that's when sex ends. Yeah. No, that, yeah. I would have to say that was until I moved out here and got into my first big serious relationship. I don't think I really knew what a proper orgasm was until then.
What is your knowledge of vaginal discharge?
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. I've, like, yeah, whatever, like, if we can measure a... Oh, do we want to do this? Okay, fine. If we want to measure a quotient of... that's not the right word. If we want to, like, measure what I know about discharge, 85 to 95% of that will have come from since we started making this podcast.
Holy shit.
I guarantee you. Like, the fact that it is the evidence that the vagina cleans itself, mm-hmm. how regularly it occurs, or I imagine that's different for every single woman on the planet. But I don't know. And, like, the fact that it is, it's natural and it's, like, always occurring is, like, another thing in this realm that, like, I now am aware of since we started making this podcast of shit that's going on with women all the time that I had absolutely no idea was happening. what do I know about discharge is, I think literally everything that you just outlined, like, 10 minutes ago.
I want to hear you say it.
I thought it bummed you out, man, but this is kind of the point, isn't it? It is crusty, white substance. I don't have a better descriptive word for what the substance is other than it is a crusty, white substance. I don't know.
It's crusty when it's, like, been left in your underwear for a while. Like,
oh, so it's liquid before that.
Yes, it's like snot. It's crotch snot. That's, imagine, like, clear snot.
We should just call it that. That seems pretty, I love that.
Wait, keep going.
It's crotch snot that comes out of the vagina on a semi-regular basis.
Why?
Because it's the evidence of the vagina cleaning itself, or it's like, it's the, you know, it's the waste. It's like, it's what comes out after, but what was it originally? I have no idea.
It's like lube.
What is it made of? I don't know.
It's your vagina's own lube. Sometimes. Like, so
it's
like,
your vagina's own lube?
Yeah, when you know you've done your job foreplay wise.
Yeah.
You should have, she like should be like
she wet. Should already
like
be
a
what, yeah.
form of, it's like a form of discharge. It's like lube. It just keeps your shit.
One of the many. You just went through like a few. Like some indicate infection. Some indicate right. specifically yeast infection. Others are just like, they just happen.
And sometimes it just doesn't smell like. I have to like when you're in like a deep relationship and you're like comfortable about it, you have to be like, hey, smells a little funny. It's nothing's wrong with it. Sometimes that's just your week. Sometimes that's just where you are at in your cycle. Like some weeks are funkier and weirder looking and smelling than other weeks. It's not like they're like fishy or bad necessarily. If they are, then that's like usually a bad sign. But like some weeks it just is a little more pungent than other ones. And that's natural. That happens every month. There is nothing worse than being in a friend's house, a boyfriend's parents' house, a stranger, like anywhere, and them not having a proper fucking bathroom trash can. Don't give me this wicker shit. Don't give me this no lid thing. Don't give me no plastic bag in there. Like, what am I supposed to do? I have to take out my tampon. I have to get rid of it. How am I supposed to put my rolled up tampon in your wicker fucking basket? It's the worst. And being like, how am I don't want to clog the toilet. I don't want to risk that because that's like worst case scenario. So the amount of times I have rolled it up, which is like taking up like a whole fucking roll of toilet paper and shove that shit into my purse and been like, deal with that later. It's disgusting. The amount of women that are probably walking around with used tampons in their purses is unacceptable because society does not prepare for us to do what we are physically meant to do. I'm over it. I'm just like, it's awful. Or being like, in your car and being like, oh my God, like I period on my friend Steph's car and I'm like, oh shit, it's like all over. Like I don't know what else to do. I've got nowhere to go. Pull over, having to take out your tampon in the car, be like, sorry, Earth, fucking wrap it up as much as you can. Like just get rid of it wherever you can. And just being like sitting on your coat, like leaning like over so you don't period on there until you get to your house so you can put another one in like, and like, it's just never like, again, I've been having my period for over what, 10 years? 15 years or something, and I'm still constantly like surprised by it. Sneak attack. It is like like a fucking tsunami you cannot weather map. It's yeah. No, it's
I really like
awful.
Having Alex here for this interview because this isn't shocking to me, but his face shows that it's shocking.
It's like what's shocking is like I feel so terrible that you have to like that like it's set up so that you have nowhere to talk about this. Like and I'm saying that wrong. That like I get to go through my entire life up to this point never having to know about any of this or worry about any of
right.
this. And yet like this is all happening like in scenes I've been in my whole life. It's all happening behind the quote scenes and it's like granted, I don't know what the fuck to do about it immediately or anything like that. But like, it's like, do we? Does it have to?
Well, that's why representation matters. Like in the there was just an article about this. The like store inside of Congress now sells tampons. They never had to before.
A lot of like really nice like studios and stuff out here will have tampons in the bathrooms. Actually, like if you've ever been like in like a nice. A lot of like places are like starting to accommodate that, which is great. Or just like talking about it, not shaming it. Like the amount of years that you have to go through and again being like the whisper, like, oh damn it, and like shoving it up your sleeve or like shoving it in your like cleavage because you're just so embarrassed and for what reason, I don't know. Yes.
Your fuck bathroom trash cans diatribe is a perfect example. I feel like, oh my God. Is that why anytime you're ever in like in my experience, it would have to have been a unisex restroom. Mm-hmm. Whenever you see a
boxes,
whenever you see a notice that says please do not flush
yes.
feminine products up the thing, I'm looking at it thinking Yeah, exactly. That'll fuck the plumbing up. Who's doing that? Anybody who doesn't have anyone else to put it.
I'm going to rat out Hannah. She does it every time. She never throws hers away because, like, it does. It smells and it's awful and it's just a fucking part of it. And she's like, I don't care. This isn't my house. And I'm like, don't do it. Like, we should just facilitate it. Like, and also I think men just having, tampons in hand. Like, my new roommate just told me that his mom, like, there were no girls in his house, but he's like, you're going to be in middle school, like, soon. She's like, let your friends know. They're always, like, or, like, she's like, I'm leaving a box of tampons in here. Because even if you're in a stranger's bathroom and you need one, you will go, like, scrounging around, even if it's in a man's bathroom. Like, it never hurts to have a couple tampons around. And, like, not having to, like, shove your wad underneath all the rest of the gross trash or hiding it in, like, the empty, like, toilet paper roller. It's insane.
This is very, like...
And then worrying about if it's going to smell. Oh, my God. It's just awful.
You can tell a 11, 12, 13-year-old boy, hey, always make sure, like, or, you know.
Right.
Like, this is why trash cans in bathrooms need to be like this. Or like this, like, that. That's good. I definitely, like, tried to shove a used condom underneath, like, the
Imagine that that's full of blood.
Yeah, it's gonna stink in like a day. Fluid.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, yeah, it's like, well, yeah, I guess it's like cum. Like, yours is your own is fine, but like anybody else's is fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's like hair. Why is like hair like fine until it's no longer on a person's body? You know what I mean? Like, or like toenails or nails in general. There's certain things that are like fine when they're on your body, and then the moment they're not. It's like, well, are anybody else's? And you're like, no.
That's a brain thing. They talk about it on Hidden Brain, how, like, if you can take a drink of water knowing that your backwash is in there, but the second you spit into the water, you won't. Something in your brain says that's gross, even though it's the same amount of saliva.
Oh, my God. Is it the same amount?
Yes. Yeah. So, like, what is it about, like, the actual spitting and what that gross thing in your brain?
Alarming.
It's interesting.
Yeah, tampons. They are really fucking shitty. They're full of fucking chemicals. I tried to switch over to the Diva Cup. It takes a lot of work. It's a hard thing to do, but, like...
How was your experience with that?
Weird, because, you know, like I said, mentally, like, sometimes, like, just the idea of, like, being up in my vagina is weird, like when I'm at the gyno and stuff. I just had, like, a hard time. I don't think I quite got it in there right. I think I was too afraid to put it in there too far and, like, twist, because you have to, like, twist it in there. I think I was too nervous, and therefore it didn't quite sit right. And so there, I think it was kind of at an odd angle. But, you know, like, when you're getting used to putting in tampons and, like, you get it at a bad angle and you feel like somebody's stabbing you inside. Yeah. Or if you've ever had sex with somebody with a crooked penis, you know, it's just stabbing parts of you that aren't really meant to be stabbed.
Like a poorly guided tampon.
Yeah.
You are hard to ignore.
Speaking of poor sex education, I didn't know where the tampon went. So, and like me and my mom never talked about anything growing up. She's very private family, Midwestern, it's classic. And so my sister, who's 15 years older than me, sat outside the bathroom door and tried to talk me through it and be like, okay, now just, you're going to put that up it and it's going to be fine. I was like, there's no way. I had no idea. I thought it was going in my piss hole. And I was like, Ton, there is no way this is fitting in there. She's like, trust me, it'll fit in there. I was like, there's no way. Like, and then I was like, I'm never having a baby. How is a baby going to come out of my pee hole? So I have a period, and I don't even know I have a vagina hole. Like, that's so fucked. That just shows you how awful Midwestern sex education is. And then she's like, go back further. And I was like, oh, no, I am not doing this. This is a mystery. I want no part of it. So I, like, didn't use tampons for, like, the first year. And then when I did, got to 7th grade, and my stupid, fat, gross, sexist, and also, like, pervy math teacher, we had 90-minute blocks. I was like, I need to go to the bathroom. He's like, no. I was like, you can't tell me no to go to the bathroom. He's like, I know. I just, like, felt it. Like, sometimes you can literally just feel it, like, dropping out of your stomach, Alex, where it's just all of a sudden it's literally just a weight is dropping and, like, this whooshing feeling. And I was like, I'm going. And I remember I was just a mouthy little thing to begin with. I was like, you cannot stop me. You can't. I grabbed my purse. I left. I went to the principal and I went to the nurse. And I was like, this man prevented me from going to the restroom. I am on my period. It's like my fucking, like, first month and I don't know what to do. And it was awful. But, yeah, no. And then, like, my male teacher telling me, no, I cannot go to the restroom because I already used my restroom pass. It was 90-minute blocks. I was bored. It was 7th grade math. It was It was like 2 days ahead in homework. Come on.
It's always the math teacher's one. you were like it was you could feel it, you know, and you can feel it.
Yeah.
Did you have enough time to go to the principal's? You went to the principal's office
first. Oh, no, I went straight to the bathroom.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure I got the time. Of course,
but then I didn't go back to my gross math teacher's boring class. No way. I
love little feminist you.
Oh, my God. Fifth grade, I started calling my gym teacher a sexist and, like, went straight to the principal. I was like, she is not letting us play the good volleyball positions because I am not a boy. And, like, I just was like, you're sexist. Literally, like, every year I've had, like, a female icon that I've been obsessed with. Like, second grade, it was Jane Goodall. And, like, the year before that, it was Amelia Earhart. So I've just always been on that.
I want all of them. I want to know the whole list.
I've been on that rampage since...
Since before it was trendy.
Since I was, like, five. And I don't know how, but I think it was because, like, my mom and dad were just, like, so fucking busy that I, like, made my own human instead of being influenced by them. And they're, like, old school, like... probably, like, hardcore, like, red state Republican Christian ways. And I was just like, no, I'm leading a rally. And, like, I was a handful. I'll admit it. I started a lot of petitions. I was like, no. And then I started a revolt in Almost Home, which is, like, the after-school program for kids whose parents can't come and get them. I was like, we're going beyond the border. We broke through this fence, and I took them out. And they called the cops and people's parents because I got all these kids to run away and, like, to this forest because that's what my elementary backed up onto. And then everybody hated me because we lost outside privileges for, like, the rest of the year. And it was so nice out because we lived, like, we were a country school. So, like, horses to this side. A forest to this side, and then cornfields here. So I was pissed that they put a fence up so I can go play in the forest, because I'm just a little, like, fairy, you know? I just want to go play in the woods. And they prevented us with a fence, so we broke it, crawled out. And then when they tried to chase us, we snuck into the cornfield. It's a big thing. Anyways, yeah, no.
If I'm a dude listening...
Okay.
What is it I don't know?
I think that there is just, like, a level of... fear that we're taught to live with on a daily basis at a young age. I think that we're taught to care more about being in the dark, more about being alone, about being with strangers, about taking public transportation, about taking a walk, even in broad daylight, about, you know, like, if you're going running down the block, you don't think of near as much as that we do. I think that we're always taught to be clocking our surroundings on a constant basis, because I think that we are taught that there is that imminent danger. I mean, like, I remember driving around my hometown as, like, a 16-year-old girl and being like, this car full of men that, like, hooted and hollered at me at the red light is now following me. Like, I have to be, like, aware of that, even if they just happen to be going down the same main drag that I am, because our town's, like, fucking 4 feet long. Like, there's, like, I think that you're just taught to clock constantly what could be a potential threat. And that everything is a potential threat.
And
going to the putting your groceries in your car and being like, all right, so who's coming? Who's parked next to me? Who's not parked next to me? And just, like, constantly having to be aware that there is danger.
I forgot why I don't go running or jogging.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, this is free exercise. I don't have to pay for the gym. I can just go running. Mm-hmm. And then I went running, and I was, like, very quickly, like, oh, this is why.
Yeah.
You know, I was honked at, like, at least 7 times, and then a guy actually blocked my path and started humping his backpack at me. This was, like, a couple months ago, and I was, like,
where was this?
On Vine.
Yeah.
And Melrose.
Like, even when you're in, like, a good part of town or fucking broad daylight, you're just, oh, like, you're always still aware of it. I mean, like, I think, okay, so if you were to have some girl just randomly start, like, initiate a conversation with you and be like, oh, that's fun, or oh, hey, this, or hey, do you want this, you would think nothing of it. But even if some, like, random guy that seems, like, sweet and docile and old and, like, kind is being like, how about the weather today, where are you from, blah blah blah, and, like, wants to start a nice conversation, there's always a part of you that goes, what does he want? And, like, that immediately goes to danger. Like, it's insane, like, that...
And if you don't respond half the time, you get called a bitch.
Yeah, or a fucking whore, or any... Like, it's insane that, like, just amount of, like, I think verbal abuse that you take from strangers on a pretty regular basis. And, I mean, like, we live in L.A., which isn't even a very community or out... like, we don't see a lot of strangers because we don't have public transportation or things like that. So I'd imagine to, like, live in a city like New York or something where you have to deal with that because you're walking and it's such a populated area every couple, like, feet that you're doing. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't deal with it that much because I'm a homebody. And but, yeah. Or, hey, this cute guy at the bar, like, should I, like, be flirting with him? Or, what? Like, it's just constantly running an analysis of risk. Is this taking this drink and flirting with this cute guy worth it? Or is he a pig? Is he a rapist? Is he just an overall fucking dick? Like, I think there's just a lot more risk as a woman.
I was at a bar once and a guy said hi to me and immediately grabbed my ass.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, I kind of froze and I was like, why are you touching me? And he was like, because I want to.
Yeah.
And I was like, get your fucking hand off me. But I was like shaking, just it like... Of course, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, don't fucking touch me. But in that moment, it was like, this is a really tall, like, powerful man yeah. who just put his hand on me. And telling him no is, like, scary because it could put me in danger.
Right.
I mean, and he kind of left. When I told him to stop touching me, he kept it there for a minute. And then kind of smirked at me and then, like, slowly pulled away.
There's a reason that, like, most animals' responses to danger is to play dead. Like, that, I think, is such a huge, like, actual normal response for women. Like, you know when you're a little kid and all of a sudden there's something scary, yet you can't cover your face with your, like, bedding because you're like, don't move, don't move, don't move. I think that is what most people's negative sexual experiences are like. And I think, like, now with the whole conversation finally coming out with, like, rape and sexual assault is, like, I think so many women are running through all of the sexual experiences they've had, and, like, a lot of them, they didn't even realize were rape at the time because there is just that paralyzing fear of, like, I can't fight back, even though, like, all of the time, like, one of the times that I was raped, we was, like, I said no plenty of times, I did it, and, like, he was a pretty small guy, like, I could have fucking took him, like, I'm scrappy as shit, I know I could have kicked his ass, but I didn't, like, because there becomes this, like, paralysis where you're just like, just let it be over, because it's better just to have him do it and be get it over with than to, like, risk more violence. And I think that constant risk of violence is what I think is on a daily, is I would say, is a pretty regular occurrence for women that I don't think men think of. And, like, I don't think we sit here and we don't, like, we're not like, oh, poor us, because it has become so ingrained in us. Like, it is now just, like, a normal part of my life. Like, that's just, oh, shit. Like, even, like, what am I wearing? Like, do I want to deal with the attention today? Am I, like, mentally strong enough to deal with the shit
of it today? Yeah, do I want to feel good about myself and put something nice on?
Right.
Because there's a risk in that, because yep. suddenly I'm a target.
Yeah, yeah.
Or do I disappear in my sweatpants?
Yeah. Hey, look at me today. Sweatpants. For the win.
And then...
yeah.
What would you even say? And then, like, you could say something and then it's just, you're not taken seriously.
Right, like, I don't
know. So why would you keep trying to, like, be like, no, I seriously sense danger here.
Right, it's like, even just, like, with the simplicity of catcalling. Like, there's some days where I'm like, oh, thanks, Kay, just because it's easier. And then there's other days where I'm like, I'm not in the mood. Like, fuck you. And then they're like, oh, what, bitch? And then you're like, okay, just kidding. I don't have my knife on me today. I don't have, you know, like, I shouldn't have to walk around with a weapon. I shouldn't have to walk around with mace. I shouldn't. I just fucking shouldn't. And, like, okay, so when I, with the whole Christine Beasley Ford thing that came out, when I went home and discussed it, my dad brought up, like, rape. And, like, after I was like, I've been raped. Like, a few times. Like, what are you talking? He's like, but, like, real rape? And then I got really aggressive, and I was like, oh, is somebody raping my mouth different and not as heavy as them raping my vagina? And he's like, oh, well, were you drunk? Yeah, but you get drunk all the fucking time, and you don't have to worry about it. Why do I have to watch myself because somebody else can't control it? Well, what kind of situation? What are you doing at the center? So I can't go to a party, but you can? Like, there's just so many, like, when they try and flip it on you, it's like, wait, so why do you get to do it? Because you're a man, and I have to sit there and control my entire life to fit your box because you can't control your urges. So I have to control mine because you can't control yours. And it just becoming like this whole thing, like, he still did not understand the weight of it. And he's like, and then he, like, literally ended the conversation with being like, you know what, I'm sorry that you were born a woman, and that's just how it is. like, that I have to think to cross the street, that I have to be aware of my surroundings, that I have to pray that I don't fucking run out of gas or end up on the side of the road with a flat tire and the wrong person comes. Like, there's, like, he's like, sorry, that's just fucking how it is. And I'm like, you're right, that is just how it is, but I'm not going to shut my mouth about it. And I think that's why a lot of people, like, again, back in Nebraska and, like, with my family members that are having such a hard time with this all coming to the thing, is like, I've never, my sister's like, what are you, we can't change it. I was like, but I'm not going to shut my mouth until it becomes such a thing where it does start to change. I was like, you have a son, like, you can teach him to be better.
Thank you so much to Tennille for chatting with me today. Actually, a while ago, this was a while ago. This was when, you know, you could be in the same room with people and you could sit side by side on a couch. Don't you miss human interaction? I'm fine. We're fine. Please email us at dirtygirlpodcast@gmail.com. Rate and review on Apple Podcasts /Spotify/wherever/. Check us out on TeePublic for that merch.
Dirty Girl is produced by me, Heather Ann Gottlieb, along with Cameron Taggy, Tristan Bankston, and Alex Salem. We are distributed by the Hoo Ha Ha Podcast Network. Our logo was designed by Kevin Laughlin. I thought I had zitty titties because everybody would, like, make fun of Alicia. Poor Alicia, if you're listening, Alicia, like, girl, I'm so sorry for not sticking up for you. They made fun of her for having zitty titties. And so I thought I had zits on my tits, so I just, like, would sit there on my nipple trying to pop them. It's not zits. That's just the ducts that your fucking glands, your boobies have for literally so a baby can latch onto them. Not all women have them, but majority do. There are these tiny little bumps around your, on your areolas that you have. And so I thought I was disgusting and didn't want to show any of my, like, perfect rockin' tits that I had back in the day. Like, the bra was the last thing I'd take off because I thought I had zitty titties. I didn't. Shame on little middle school boys. They fucked with everybody's heads. Yeah.
Are you sorry, Alex?
Yeah, are you?
I was scared of them. I didn't, I
was scared of boobies?
I know, I was scared of middle school boys.
Oh. I think we're all I like, still am.
I didn't have the guts to, like, jump in on any of these conversations.
No.
And it doesn't sound like they were actual conversations either.
No, boys were dumb.
Yes, they were.
Hi, I'm Erin.
And I'm Nicole.
And we're the hosts of the comedy podcast, Dude, That's Fucked Up.
Join us every Wednesday for an irreverent discussion on topics such as
light cannibalism a la the Donner Party,
JFK's meth dependency,
cryptid fanfic,
and even pubes. It's available now on the Hoo Ha Ha Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go to dtfupodcast.com for more information.
You know what's not fucked up?
This podcast, you butthole.
This has been a Hoo Ha Ha podcast.